You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Voices of the Vic podcast with me, Mike Duffy. And as you can see, today I am joined by Joe Thomas and Cameron Smart to talk about yesterday's 1-1 draw in the West Country away at Bristol City, a much improved result compared to the last time we played them on Boxing Day, which we won't talk about. But as I say, I am here joined by Joe and by Cameron. Joe, you were at the game yesterday. How's things, mate? You all good? You enjoy yourself yesterday?
Yeah, really good away day, actually. It was, even though we drew and obviously didn't win, it was a thoroughly enjoyable day. Met plenty of football fans along the way, which was nice. It's always nice to chat to fans from other teams. Southampton fans, obviously, they're buzzing at the moment. Obviously, looking forward to coming to Vicarage Road next week. They were saying how much they enjoy Watford, so testament to us that we always put on a good away day. So all round good day.
Good stuff. And Cam, you managed to watch the game yesterday, but other than that, you all good?
Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, didn't manage to improve Watford's appalling record while I'm watching in my flat. We've still not won. And I think that's the third point we've got. So, yeah, it's wow. But other than that, yeah, I'm well. How about yourself?
Good. Yeah, not bad. Not bad at all today. Something a little bit different for me this morning. I attended church at 10:30. So for those that hadn't seen, I am getting married. And because we're getting married away from where we live, the rules are if you don't live in the area of the church, you have to attend once a month for 6 months. So we did that today. So it's a little bit different. And I was praying a bit for that playoff push to continue. So hopefully my prayers will be answered come May, and we'll be sitting here celebrating about Watford getting into the playoffs. Whether we'll do any good in it, we don't know. But yeah, yesterday, another point on the road, still unbeaten in 2024, even though that was only game 3, I think. But doing well on the roads. Let's start where we always start with the team moves. 3 changes for Watford. It saw Porteous, Kone and Rajovic come in for Sierra, Martins and Healy, who we'll talk about at the end of the show. Joe, when you saw that team news yesterday come out at 2:00, what were your initial thoughts? Was there anyone in there you maybe would have changed around, or was you quite happy with the team?
No, I was actually quite happy with the team, to be honest. On the match day vlog that I did yesterday, I did mention that I'd have been quite happy for Porteous and Kone to come back in the side. I expected Rajovic to come into the side over Bayo, because obviously Bayo has not played for a while, has he? So he's never going to just walk back into the team. So yeah, I think it was pretty much as it was. I did mention as well, I thought if Lewis was fully fit, then I expected him to come into the starting 11 over Morris, but as it was, it didn't appear that he was fit enough. So Yeah, I think he went with the best team that he could yesterday, so no qualms from me.
Yeah, and Cam, one of the things that sticks out for me with this team news is that man in the picture in the background, Rajovic, coming in because Healy's now departed and left the club. I perhaps would have gone with Bio personally, but Joe says maybe a bit too soon. You know, he's just had three games off and maybe not the right decision to bring him in. Firstly, would you have gone Bio straight back in? And secondly, was there any changes in there that you perhaps would have made?
Yeah, look, Joe made a good point about how Bio wasn't ever going to come straight back in after nearly a month out. But he was in a really good vein of form before that red card. He came in for the Preston game, obviously scored two goals, but his all-round play was much better than we've seen from him in the past and from Rajovic. Yeah, didn't score after that game, but again, his all-round play, it was just so much better than what we're used to. So I think, you know, the decision was there to be made. It wasn't... Well, I would have put Bio in personally because I just think he offers us so much more than Rajovic. And I mean, I'm sure we'll get a chance to talk more about him later, but I feel incredibly disheartened when I see Mileta Rajovic in the starting lineup, I'll be honest. And I don't know if that's harsh. It just sort of it knocks a bit of the excitement out of me. And yeah, it's not what I want. I'd much prefer Bio. But as for the rest of the team, I was a bit sceptical about putting Georgi Chakvatadze on the wing. I think he's much better in those central areas. And yeah, Mateus Martins wasn't great and we're not blessed with options out there. But I probably would have stuck with him just to keep Georgi in the middle. But, you know, you've got to fit Kone, Georgi, TDB in. So what can you do? And I guess... yeah, there's a decision to be made in midfield.
Yeah, and I think it's a really good headache to have. You know, when Kayembe went off to AFCON, we were all like, you know, this isn't good. Kayembe's in real good run of form. How are we going to fill that void? And we've got players now that are filling said void and are putting in strong performances. So it's good to see the depth in the squad that we've got. So I was particularly pleased with that. With that team again, I would have gone Bio straight in for Rajovic. We've had a couple of comments already about Rajovic. Warwick Bird saying that he offered nothing again, and that the rumours are Watford are willing to sell for 4 million. They must have someone lined up. And then Philip Crouch just basically tagging off the back of that, saying that Blackburn Rovers have joined the race with Ipswich, and the club have put the price tag on him, keep or sell. We're going to talk about them towards the end of the show. In the little transfer news segment that we've got coming up. But, yeah, another away game. We seem to be doing quite well on the road at the moment. And I suppose we just wanted to see an improvement from last time we played Bristol City, Joe, because that was absolutely horrendous. And it was a great start for Watford. It took 12 minutes. I mean, we were just talking before before we come on air then. Who sort of tried and fancied his chances again? That goal away at Hull has obviously got to his head because he tried it again 9 minutes in, didn't get any joy, didn't come off. But just 3 minutes after that, Watford get given their first penalty in over a year, and much to everyone's surprise, although I don't... What was the reaction like when you saw it was Tom Delibashiru stepping up? Was everyone a bit confused or...?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I couldn't fully see it at first. I was like, who are they going to give it to? I was like, crikey, we've got a penalty here. Like, obviously, we've been saying for ages, who's going to take it if we get one? Because obviously, it was never going to be Rajovic, let's be honest. So, yeah, it was people were kind of like, oh, who's going to take it? Then when Tom Delibashiru decided he wanted to step up, it was given to him quite quickly, to be fair. So they clearly talked about it, and if we were to get one, who's going to take it? So it's good that there was that clarity amongst the team and people weren't like squabbling about who was going to take it because we've not had one for so long. But yeah, obviously we were all just willing it to go in. You know, you first penalty for such a long time, you just think, oh my goodness, please just put it in the back of the net. And I thought he was very confident, to be honest with you. He dispatched it pretty well. Didn't really give the keeper a chance to kind of... choose away. Kind of was the ball was past him, and and by the time he got across. So, yeah, great penalty from my point of view.
Yeah, and I watched his interview after the game, and I think the guy that was asking the question said, had you already planned that? Did you know you was going to take the penalty? And like you've said, Joe, I think they've obviously had discussions already, and Tom Dele, whether he's top of the list or whether he's top of the list because of the players that were on the pitch, you don't know. But if he's going to keep dispatching them like that, then I'm quite happy. Cam, with you, great penalty and a good start to the game. Just what we needed, really. And, you know, we'd sort of gone through that slump of conceding first, but then sort of coming back. And then we went through a stage of scoring first and then not holding on. But a good start to the game yesterday. And was you impressed with how we continued in that first half?
Well, I thought our opening 10-15 minutes was our best spell of the game, and I put that down to Ismaël Koné. I thought he was absolutely excellent in that first half. He was able to just create space for himself by twisting and turning with the ball. Really, really positive play from him. And yeah, we dominated that first sort of 15 minutes up until the goal. It's a shame because after that goal, we seemed to sit in. We invited Bristol City onto us, and that's obviously not what you should be doing with 70-odd minutes to go. And yeah, when they eventually scored their goal, it was definitely coming.
Yeah, and you know, Cameron just mentioned the man on screen here, Ismaël Koné. He was back in the starting 11. And a couple of times this season, we've said, you know, when he's come off the bench, he's looked the real live wire. And then, you know, he's started games and been consistent throughout. But then there's been other games where he's perhaps gone missing, and maybe he's not used to the run of games. But another solid game, I thought, yesterday for Koné. Is that something you'd agree with?
Yeah, I agree with Cam. I mean, he started the game really well yesterday. There was a real confidence about his play. So he was picking the ball up in the middle. He was twisting, turning. He was really kind of trying to drive forward play, which we know too well Watford like to kind of get the ball and kind of keep possession, go backwards and not go forward as much. But in that first, I think up to the probably about the 23rd, 24th minute, from me, it was fantastic. I thought everything that was good attacking wise was starting through Koné. Obviously, he was feeding Georgie, you know, pretty much all the time. It was great seeing him get involved so early on. But yeah, there was just, I don't know what happened. Like, we looked so confident, and then all of a sudden, we just decided, like Cam said, to just sit and just invite Bristol City to come forward, and that was with like 70 minutes to go of the game, and you just can't do that when you're an away side. And you know, after looking so confident to start, I expected us to keep going at least maybe to half time, because obviously, you know, you see an away team will tire and maybe slow down a little bit second half, but we just seem to do that midway through the second half, and that was just a shame really from my point of view.
Yeah, and you mentioned, you know, things were looking good up until the 23rd, 24th. I don't know if you said that intentionally, because it was the 25th minute that the Bristol City equalised. And I think a really disappointing goal from our point of view to concede. And it's another game where there's no clean sheet. I don't know. I've not got it to hand when our last clean sheet was. I don't know whether you guys, I mean, Joe, you're usually the statter. You usually know these things.
I think it was Rotherham. Yeah. Away from home, I think it's Swansea, but at home, I think it's Rotherham.
And yes, another thing for you, Ben Hamer is stuck on his 99th career clean sheet and has been for 12 games now.
Yeah. He's not got it, is he? Yeah. I mean, he wasn't helped out yesterday by Porteous, was he? I mean,
no. Well, I thought it was a real shame for the goal, because that first shot, was it Conway took it? It was a brilliant save. Like, you watch the replay, and he's proper, you know, made himself big, stretched himself out, and his foot has stopped it. But for me, and I know, Cam, you were talking about him in the group chat a little bit yesterday, but Livermore's got to do better there. Like, the fact that Scott Swine can jump and get that header in, and Livermore's right under him, like, he's not even tried to challenge. It's almost as if he's tried to stand him up from in front, and he's got it all wrong, in my opinion. And then, not really sure what Haber was doing, whether he thought, I don't know what he was doing, basically, but he's basically a meme at the moment on Twitter. But yeah, Cam, really disappointing goal to concede yesterday, the manner that in which we conceded it.
Yeah, and it's the first time ever, really, you can accuse Livermore of not quite sensing the danger and being a bit flat-footed. We've come to know that he's not the best aerially, and we know that Valerian Ismail, he highlighted that he wants a defensive midfielder that is strong in the air, and he thought that Livermore was that. We, as good as he is, we've come to know that that's not the case. Now, I thought for that reason we might end up seeing Francesco Sierauta later in the game, because obviously they were getting a lot of joy in the air and a lot of joy off set pieces, and naturally the way to cut that out is you bring on your arguably your biggest aerial threat. In fact, I don't think there's any debate that he's our biggest aerial threat. So yeah, it's the one downside of Jake Livermore, and I thought he had a very poor game by his standards yesterday. I don't know about you.
Yeah, usually you see him marshalling that midfield and you know, really being good at controlling the pace of the game in the middle. But I just think the game sort of bypassed him. I don't know what the feel was like watching it in person, Joe. Is that what you got as well? Did you see something different?
No, he did struggle yesterday in midfield. But, you know, it wasn't just him. After Bristol City scored, I thought, just in general, the midfield three just were missing quite a lot. Bristol City were getting a lot of joy through the middle, and that's where a lot of their play was coming through. But that was, you know, they weren't set the right way. They, you know, every time we were trying to do something midfield and the ball was going in the middle, I mean, especially in the second half when we were trying to attack, like every time we were getting the ball on the edge of the box, or, you know, we were getting in and around and stuff, the ball was just getting caught under people's feet, and it just wasn't, you know, they weren't set the right, you know, to pass the ball on, or it was all a little bit clumsy for me yesterday in that midfield. And obviously it didn't help, like I say, because Jake Livermore wasn't at his best. And obviously when he's not at his best, I think that does, now we've come to see that does affect us.
Yeah, and he's someone that sets the standard, and you know, the midfield being one of the most important sort of areas on the pitch, and especially the way that we play. We did have a chance, though, just towards the half-time whistle, which we were just talking about Rajovic not really offering much. I think that was probably the best move I've seen from him, where I think he dropped deep, won the flick on, Georgi Chatvatadze sort of went through, and Asprilla just couldn't get the shot off. I think it got stuck under his feet, which is a massive, massive shame, because for me, he's got to do better there. And I think what he's done is, it reminds me of what he tried to do against Norwich, where you know, real fast-footed and, you know, very tricky feet, and then managed to get it in. But Cam, Asprilla is very frustrating at times. One hell of a player, but very frustrating at times, and perhaps shows that he's still not the finished product, which nobody thinks he is, because he's still got a lot of learning, a lot of development to go through. But he could have had a couple of goals yesterday, couldn't he, Cam?
Yeah, and it's easy to forget that he's a kid, because he does bring a lot of maturity to the game. He's sort of very incisive with his passing, and you normally back him to do the right thing. But I thought he had one of his poorest games in a Watford shirt yesterday. Normally, when Yasser's not on it, it's because we're struggling to get him involved. But we had no issue getting him involved. We got him involved with ease, and yet nearly every decision he made was wrong, or the execution was wrong. So, yeah, it was a really disappointing showing from him. As for that chance, I do feel for him a little bit. Obviously, I'd rather he just shot, but that ball from Chatvatadze, as good as it is, it's a little bit close to the keeper, and Max O'Leary makes himself very big. So, you know, it's unlikely if you shoot there, it's going to go past the keeper, because he's done a good job in goal there. So, yeah, he's tried to recreate that Norwich goal. If it works, we're not having a go at him here, but it didn't work. And yeah, you'd want him to shoot there, wouldn't you?
Mm. And Joe, the man that teed it up, Chapvidadze, we've obviously seen him in the centre, which is where he's really sort of got bums off seats. He's someone that tries to get the ball forward at any given opportunity. As Cam said at the top of the show, we saw him more out on the wing and he's been making his mark in the team. Are you worried that we may be trying to fit him in somewhere that he's not the most comfortable? Because, yes, every time he got the ball, he still looked to drive forward. But for me, he wasn't as noticeable because he wasn't operating in the middle of the park. So what did you make of his performance yesterday on a whole, considering he was playing out wide?
I thought in the first half, I thought he was excellent. I thought, you know, he was beating people for fun. He was getting the ball. He was taking it past people. Obviously, he got a few balls in the box. I thought he looked excellent. But because of us not playing the way we did it in that opening 20, 25 minutes in the second half, whenever he looked a little bit frustrated because obviously he was down our side in the second half. So we could see his expressions and his mood and stuff. And he was a little bit frustrated at times because he was wanting the ball and he was trying to get it. He was asking for it and he wasn't getting it. Like the spaces were getting closed down. We just weren't quick enough in that second half. And I think it showed on his facial expressions and things when, you know, things didn't come off. So I think he was a bit frustrated yesterday. But yeah, I mean, as good as he was yesterday, I think you're right. I think he operates better down the middle. And I don't think, you know, Val should be... I can see why he did that yesterday. I don't think we all know Martins hasn't been playing his best lately. I know you said at the beginning, Cam, that you'd have probably stuck with him. But obviously, I think, I mean, even when he came on, I mean, he looked a little bit lively, Martins. But yeah, I think Chad Vakatsi did a lot better yesterday down that side than overall. But yeah, I would stick with him in the middle. I think that's where he operates best. But can't fault him yesterday. He gave 100% effort, and he always does in a Watford shirt, to be honest. You can clearly tell he loves the team and loves getting involved. So, yeah.
Yeah, and there's rumours that we're looking to make that loan deal permanent as well, which would be great, I think. I'd be more than happy with that. Philip Crouch, he says Chapvidadze has to play centrally, and he thinks that we miss Semmer down the left side. Now, you know, this whole Semmer... Do you start him? Do you not? It's a, you know, we'll split opinion, but he does give us a different outlet, I think, to what Martins does. And he can be a bit more direct sometimes, which, you know, he's the only one really that I think can deliver a ball good enough for Rivic to actually make something of as well. And there's rumours that he could be on the way out as well. Cam, I want to talk to you about one of the centre-backs. We've, you know, last couple of weeks, people have sort of been saying that they want him back in. Annoyingly, he's cut out the picture there. But Ryan Portia was back in centre-back yesterday. Ciro, not been having the best of times recently, I think it's fair to say. And, you know, the results have been there, but I just think he's not looked as convincing as he has in previous seasons, and a lot of people crying for Porteous to come back, and then Porteous came back yesterday. What did you make of him overall yesterday?
Yeah, it wasn't his best day at the office, that's for sure. He was directly at fault for the goal we conceded, but not just because he gave the ball away in that passage of play, but he gave the ball away a number of times leading up to that put us under all kinds of pressure. And his ball playing is a strength of his. It's the reason I would put him in the team any day over Sierra. But that first half, he was all over the place and he couldn't hit a barn door with his passing. And we know what we get from him in that he's, you know, he's very rash. He charges into midfield and he's very easy to draw out. If you're a centre forward, you can move him all over the place. But sometimes, you know, sometimes that is helpful. Sometimes it helps us keep the pressure on. Bristol City found him out and, yeah, he had a really poor game. However, I stand by, I really, really do think he should stay in that team over Sierra, purely because Sierra with the ball is like a deer in headlights. We can't play with Sear Outer at the back, and I think defensively he's been really poor of late. So I'd put Porteous in over him all day long.
Yeah, it'd be interesting, especially because after another centre back, I think it sounds like, and you do wonder what might happen to some of these others. I know they're looking more left sided to sort of cover for Hoop, but I do wonder whether that means we might look at offloading one, and if Sirot has not been getting the game time, I mean, surely not, but you just never know, you know. We just got rid of Healy and we only signed him in the summer. But just going back to the game momentarily, second half, you know, we saw a substitution at half-time. We saw Martins come on for a sprayer. And I think the second half, again, much like the first half, they were more spelled. You know, I thought we started quite shaky. I thought Bristol really took a hold of that first sort of 10, 15 minutes in that second half. But we grew into the game, and it looked as if, Joe, at one stage in the second half, we were looking on top, and it was only going to be a matter of time till we scored. But we just, as is always the case with Watford so frequently this season, couldn't find that finishing piece of the puzzle. And it was quite a frustrating second half. And I think sort of come the final whistle, I think perhaps a draw was probably a fair result, but it's again down to that lacking edge and that sort of end product, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, like it says in the title, we were quite wasteful yesterday. You know, there was so many times where there was just too many touches and people not looking up and looking for the right pass. There was hesitation in getting the ball in the box. There was a number of things yesterday, and like I say, it just didn't feel right. And it was like towards like the last sort of 10 minutes, Bristol City were getting corner after corner after corner. I mean, fair play to the lads. I mean, they dug in deep. They showed a lot of character. They defended brilliantly. Obviously, Livermore, not only in the first half, he obviously put a foot in to stop a certain goal. Towards the end yesterday, obviously, Hamer made that save at point-blank range, which was a great save. There's a lot of positives because, like, you know, I think I touched on it in the vlog that I did. For me, it was a point gained rather than two dropped for me. I think it was a very good point away from home. You know, at the beginning of the season, before, like, that Sunderland game, you know, when we were playing good one week, rubbish for the next. You know, we'd have probably maybe lost that game yesterday, but the team are now showing a lot of character. I mentioned it in our chat as well, didn't I, yesterday, about stats of the run we're on at the moment. Only three defeats in 18 games. So, you know, we're showing we're hard to beat at the moment. And obviously on the road, we're six unbeaten away now. So, yeah, it's disappointing we didn't win yesterday, but at the same time, I think the guys dug in deep and ended up with a good result.
Yeah, absolutely. And Cam, what did you make of Val's subs yesterday? Because often we'll come on here and we'll say, subs were brilliant, they won us a game. And then other weeks we'll say the subs cost us a game and really took the sting out of it. I mean, obviously I mentioned Martins coming on for a sprayer. We then saw in the 89th minute, we saw Ince come on for Chapatadze. We'll talk about Ince in a little bit, actually, because he's rumoured to be off. But the two that sort of I want to get your view or point on, we saw Lewis and Bio come on for Rajovic and Morris, straight swaps. Firstly, what did you make of the subs? And secondly, now that we've seen Lewis back, do you expect him to continue in the team and keep James Morris out of the team?
Yeah, I think so. I think Morris is on a pretty poor run, to be honest. Since that Stoke game in which he was absolutely excellent, he's just looked way off it, you know, against Plymouth, Chesterfield, QPR, and now Bristol City. I thought he had a torrid time out there. Lewis, he looked more assured. I'm not 100% convinced on him, but he did look a lot more assured, and yeah, he gave us a bit more solidity and a little bit more on the ball. The rest of the subs, I struggle to think of any impact, really. I thought Martins was fairly lively and it was a logical sub to make given how poor Asprilla had been. Yeah, he was fairly lively, and I am starting to buy into playing him on the right rather than the left. I was completely against it at first, but he's looked more productive on the right of late, I'd say. And yeah, definitely a good outlet for us. Bio hardly had a kick, didn't he? I mean, he could not get into the game after, you know, the first minute he came on, he got on the end of a chance. But other than that, he didn't have a sniff. And I struggled to remember who the rest of the subs were.
I think the only one after that was...
Yeah, well, it's logical, isn't it? I guess Trakvatadze might have been tired, and Ince, say what you want about him, but he runs and he'll track back. And yeah, we were just closing out the game at that point, weren't we?
Yeah, good timing for me in the background. Anyone that can hear that, the Tesco delivery's just turned up. So if anyone heard that, that's what that was. Don't worry, I'm not going to have to shoot after the miss got that covered, thankfully. I jokingly said on Twitter that Ince should come on because I often like to look at who our players, their record against other teams. And obviously we've got a lot of players that haven't played in the Championship before, so they might not have built up, oh, he's good against this certain team. Bit like Troy, always scored against Villa, had a very good record against Bournemouth. Tom Ince has a brilliant record against Bristol City, 14 games and 12 direct goal contributions, 8 of those goals and 4 assists. So, he might have relished that you know, he would have been hoping for more than sort of a few minutes that he did get. So it was a shame. It would have been quite interesting to see, had he played a little bit longer, could he have done something? But it, like I say, it looks like he's on the way out. But as I say, a 1-0 draw in the end against Bristol City. I think, Joe, you summed it up perfectly. I think the run we're on at the moment, we're tough to beat. Yes, it's frustrating not to come away with 3 points. But look, how many months ago would we have sat there and been like, you know, a point on the road, we'll take that. And we're now coming away disappointed, which shows the progress that we're making. Cam, do you have the same view as Joe on the whole point on the road? Do you see it as a point gained rather than two dropped?
Yeah, absolutely is a point gained, especially after Boxing Day. I feared the worst today. I thought we can't go there and get anything, can we? Despite how inconsistent they've been. But my concern is in the last two performances, QPR and Bristol City. I feel like they're a far cry from where we were, you know, against Hull, Blackburn, Preston, even Plymouth. We sort of showed spells of dominance in those games, which away from home is something you've got to do. You've got to impose yourself. And we saw glimpses against Bristol City, but I thought, you know, we didn't really stamp ourselves down on the game at any point after the first sort of 15 minutes. So, yeah, it was a slightly disappointing performance. And I think come the end of the game, if any team was going to score, it was probably going to be Bristol City. Obviously, Hamer had to make one or two late saves. Livermore had a goal line clearance. But the overwhelming positive, I'd say, is that we didn't look troubled at all from open play in that game. Other than the goal we conceded, I thought we shut them out brilliantly, and it was only set pieces that could be our undoing.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because it's an interesting dynamic, whatever way you look at it. Yes, the performances haven't been on the same level as Blackburn, Preston, Plymouth, but at the same time, we're not playing as well, but we're still not losing. So that shows that there's character there and that there's fight and the desire. But at the same time, you do sort of think, well, when's this luck going to run out? Because we're going to come up against someone soon. And if we play like that, you know, looking at our fixtures, we've got, you know, Norwich, Leicester, we've got Southampton at the weekend, and you sort of worry that, okay, other lads may be thinking, well, doesn't matter, we're playing crap, but we're still, you know, picking up points, and we can't slip into that, because I'm not saying for 1 minute that I think this whole playoff stuff, people maybe need to be a bit realistic and step back and look at the bigger picture here, that, you know, it's all well and good, this run that run is brilliant, but we've got to be more consistent with our performances. I saw quite an interesting stat, actually, and Watford retweeted it saying, you'll never sing that. Yesterday, we became the 35th club to play in 200 draws on the road in the second tier of English football, which was quite interesting. But six unbeaten on the road, as Joe said, and our first penalty since January the 14th, 2023. Anyone remember who that was against?
Blackpool. It was the Toby Adeyemo game.
Oh, yes. Ismail Sarr scored, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, there we go. But, yeah, another point on the road, and a bit frustrating because a win would have seen us really, well, it would have seen us a point outside the playoffs as opposed to three at the moment, because Coventry got a win against Sheffield Wednesday. So they're sitting in sixth on 43 points. Hull won on Friday night against Sunderland 1-0, so they're seventh on 42. The last I saw of Norwich, they were 2-0 up against West Brom. I assume that finished 2-0.
Yeah.
And they're on 41. And then we're sitting in ninth, level on points with Sunderland, who are 10th. And also Middlesbrough, who are 11th on 40 points as well. So, yeah, bit disappointing. You know, there's a little bit of a gap starting to form now. I think West Brom, they're on 45. And then Leeds are in fourth, who won today 2-1 against Preston. They're on 54. So there's a 9-point gap between fourth and fifth already. And if we want to actually have a go at playoffs, we need to start catching West Brom because soon that will slip away. But before we wrap up, we'll talk about transfers, because the transfer window, the rumour mill has been hotting up a little bit more, which is about bloody time, because there's 10 days left and only now have the rumours started. So the first one is a permanent deal which has taken place already, and it's Reece Healy. He joined from Toulouse in the summer on a free transfer. A lot of hype. I was very excited after talking to a Toulouse fan channel and after seeing his stats and his you know, glowing reviews from Toulouse fans. And then 6 months later, we've sold him and he's gone to Huddersfield. We did get £2 million. But Cam, I know people were saying, look, we've not given him a chance, etc., etc. But when he did play, he didn't light it up for me. And I'm a harsh for judging him off the small appearances that we did see, possibly. But look, you know, he's scored 2 goals for us, and those 2 goals were very important. One salvaged a point at home to Southampton, which on the grand scheme of things now looks a terrific goal and terrific point to pick up because they're flying. And then the other one, me and you were there, was away at Blackburn to win us a game. But are you surprised about this? I don't think a lot of Watford fans will be. But we've got a good fee because we didn't pay anything. We got £2 million. So are you of the opinion of, thank you very much for your time, but it was never going to work out?
I am, yeah. I think that is the case. But it's weird timing, isn't it? Because in the statement, it said that he approached Val about a month ago and said he wants to leave, yet he got his only 2 Watford starts after that. So, yeah, that was definitely strange, and I thought that might influence his chances of staying. But ultimately, we've not seen enough from him. He looks very rusty. You can see that, you know, he's got the instincts, he makes the right runs, and he tries to link up play, but he's just not quite there physically, mentally, and technically, I'd say. So, yeah, I'm not gutted to see the back of him. I do wish him well. But this is the kind of deal that benefits everyone. Huddersfield are getting a goal scorer, basically, and if they can get him to his best and they've got a player on their hands, we're getting £2 million. We've, for Healy, he's, you know, sort of used us to build his fitness back up. He's got a bit of match sharpness under his belt now, and he's gone straight off to Huddersfield, started immediately. So they must be quite impressed by him, and or just completely distrusting their other options, which is probably more likely.
Yeah.
But yeah, good move for all parties, and yeah, good luck to him.
Yeah, got a full 90 as well yesterday, which I was quite surprised at. And all eyes on the 24th of February now, because you know what's going to happen, don't you, Joe?
He's
going to come back to the Vic and he's going to score. But like Cam said, I think we can shake his hand. Thank you for sticking around as long as he did. And he scored two important goals for us, didn't he, Joe?
Yeah. Like we've all said, you know, he didn't really set the world alight, and he didn't take his opportunities when he started. So yeah, wish him well. Like Cam said, he came to us. He had an opportunity to build his fitness back up. Hopefully, things work out for him. And yeah, I've got no ill feeling towards him. It just didn't work out really. So good luck, and I hope it works out at Huddersfield Town.
Absolutely. I must say, I think he conducted himself very well. You know, I like this transparency that we get in with the transfers. Val, you know, saying what happened. Philip Crouch has just said here, actually, I think you're harsh with Healy. He can't play up front on his own, and that's why he left. Val doesn't play to his strengths. And, look, you know, that's fair enough. I think we saw that against Chesterfield, to be honest, Philip. You know, he was sort of looked deserted up there on his own. And we'd seen him in cameos in centre mid as well against Plymouth, I think. But, it was quite interesting that, you know, I'm glad that we're putting out explanations as to why these transfers are happening. And for someone that's wanting to leave, sorry about this. The kittens just walked in. For someone that wanted to leave, you know, I think he conducted himself quite well because, you know, he started against QPR and he would have known about that move at the time, I would have assumed. And you know, he's not sort of gone out kicking and screaming, and he's obviously waited for his chance and it's come. And like you say, fair play to him and, you know, best of luck other than that game in February, because I know full well what will happen now. But it's quite interesting as well. I read a few comments on the Huddersfield website when they signed him. And I think their CEO or whoever it was said that they were actually after him in the summer, but he came to Watford. And then they worded it to say that we convinced Watford to let him come to us. So, yeah, but we got 2 million and he cost us nothing. So, good bit of business from the Potsos there. I know they're under a bit of scrutiny at the moment, but fair play to him. Next man up is this man, Rajovic. Now, the Football League World on Twitter have said that Blackburn have now joined the race. We mentioned about earlier in the month about Ipswich being in for him because I think they've had a player, is it Hurst that's injured?
Yeah, it's George Hurst. Yeah.
And I think they want sort of a big striker. And look, you know, he scored 8 goals in the league and he's got to attract certain interest. But 4 million is apparently the fee that we're asking for him. Joe, I'll start with you. He proper splits the room, doesn't he? Because he's scored 8 goals this season for us, but at the same time, he does absolutely nothing. Would you be sad to see the back of him? Or do you think cash him while we can, whilst his stock's high because he's got 8 goals? What's your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I'm of the opinion that if we were offered that sort of money, even if it's 3 to 4, I would accept it. I would take the money. I would say, thank you very much. You know, again, you've tried, because you can clearly see he's trying. But just for me, it's just like, again, yesterday, like he did knock the ball on, as you said, for that opportunity where we went forward with Chad Vakatsi putting the ball in for Espria. But other than that, he was just like, he was running around. I can't fault him for that. But he's just so slow. Like the passage of play has moved on before it registers in his head that he's got to get going. And it's like, you just watch it. You're like, what are you doing? Like, they're just, you're offering nothing. He just didn't get close to anything. You know, he didn't win. I think he went up for like 3 headers and didn't win one of them. And I'm like, you're massive. Like, how are you not winning a header? For me, if the money's offered, I would take it. And I would, you know, I know it's only going to leave us with Bio, but, you know, as someone said yesterday, I think it was yesterday or the day before, with Healy going, we've clearly got a replacement lined up. So if Watford do take the money for Rajovic, I do believe they've probably got 2 strikers lined up. So, yeah, I'd take the money.
Yeah, and Cam, is this just another example of frustrating recruitment? Because we've brought him in and it doesn't sound like he was Manga's man. And listen, that's another can of worms that can be opened on a separate day. But we've brought him in, and then it's however many months down the line, and we're looking at selling him. And like, why bring him in the first place? I know he scored 8 goals, but he's a very frustrating player. He's very much, you do all the work and I will literally tap it in or fox in the box. But even that fox in the box label isn't true most times, because you look at Leicester, you look at Ipswich, where, you know, Espria had to get the rebound in. There's countless times that even in the box, he's not sort of come to fruition. So do you agree with Joe? Cash in whilst we can, whilst his stock's high, because in the league, he's not scored for a few games now. I can't think. Obviously, his last goal, full stop, was against Chesterfield the other day. But in the league, I'm trying to think when
Blackburn,
he's...
Wasn't it?
It was Blackburn.
Yeah, Blackburn. And that was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games ago. So are you in agreement with Joe?
I am, yeah. Yeah, I think we should sell. I think this is the most valuable he'll ever be. I just don't see what he brings. I don't see what he brings at all. And we had this question in the chat, didn't we, the other day, of how many goals do you think Rajovic will get this season? You all sort of went, you know, high teens, 17, 18, 19. I went with 12, and I think you're all a little bit shocked at that. But I don't think what we pay enough attention to is that that run he was on where he was scoring goals, that was more than likely a purple patch. Mm-hmm. That is something that isn't going to happen consistently, because the chances we were creating for him, they're golden opportunities, and they're not chances you're going to be creating every single game. So, yeah, and if you look at his form now, it's 1 goal in 10 league games, 2 in 11 in all comps. And people tell me he's in the team because he scores goals. But he's not scoring goals, is he? And even worse, he's not even having opportunities to score goals. He's not. I don't think he had a shot yesterday. I haven't looked at that, but I can't recall a single shot. And there's been countless games where he hasn't had a shot. But there's also been countless games where he's missed sitters. So I'm not convinced about him, as obviously not as someone who's going to link play, win headers, do the hard work, all of that. But I'm definitely not convinced about him as a goal scorer either. I don't think he's this clinical poacher. I think he'll miss more chances than he puts away. He's the result of what happens when, I think, when you put your manager in charge of recruitment, which in my opinion is something you shouldn't be doing, but clearly we have done. And yeah, Val outlined him when he first arrived as someone who's strong in the air and good at pressing. That's a load of shit. So we know that's not the case. And yeah, I'd cash in for half of that rumored price, to be honest, because I just don't see what he adds to this team.
Yeah, and you know what will happen? He'll go to a Blackburn, he'll go to an Ipswich, and he'll be on fire. But yeah, I agree, because you spoke to Tim from Kalmar podcast, and even he said, you know, he's high press. And, you know, attacking energy. And we've just not seen that. I don't know. I genuinely thought at one stage, because you see the way that Bio plays, he's aggressive, pressing, everything. And he's what you want from a striker. And then when you see Rajovic come on, he's almost like the opposite. And you sort of think, has Val told him to do something different to Bio? As Val said, Bio, you play this way, and Rajovic, you... Because they're two complete polar opposites. So, listen, you know, the guy's got 8 goals for us. 9 goals in all comps this season. And, you know, thank you very much. But for me, he's not played as well as he's expected to. And look, he's still young. He's 24 years old. He doesn't know the league. So I understand about having to sort of adapt to a new league. But I often used a football app, Flash Score, and they've got a new feature now where they'll give each player a rating. And just looking through the ratings, his last green rating was against Norwich, and he got a 7.2. Ever since then, the highest he got was 6.5, and it's mainly ambers and reds. And he's even scored a couple of goals in that time as well. So the performances, it's not just us that are seeing it, everyone else. So yeah, if Blackburn or Ipswich want to cough up $4 million for him, happy days, thank you very much. Where do we sign? Let me know, give me a postcode and I'll drive up. And then just lastly in the transfer rumour mill is this man, Tom Ince, who come on yesterday in the 89th minute. He's rumoured to be off to Turkey. Just quickly on him, Joe, it's not a massive surprise, is it? He's come in, he was 50 grand, worth a gamble. He scored two goals for us, I think. Scored against Rotherham and West Brom. And it's not worked. He obviously doesn't suit Val's play. And yeah, I'm not too pissed off at this one. 50 grand, you know, always scores against us, probably saved us having him score against us for another team. But yeah, clearly it hasn't worked. And yeah, see you later.
Yeah, another one. Yeah, wish him well. It was a gamble at 50,000. It was worth a punt, I think. He's a good championship player. He's got experience. But yeah, just unfortunately, he doesn't suit Val's style of play. And yeah, wish him well. Like you say, I hope he does well out in Turkey or wherever he goes. And yeah, thanks very much.
Yeah, Cam, anything to add to that? Any Tom Ince memories?
Yeah, look, I wasn't against the signing when it happened. I thought, yeah, it's fairly smart. He's just had one of his best seasons in the Championship with Reading. 50 grand, can cover a lot of positions. Yeah, but he's an end product player. He needs to be getting on the end of the chances. And we have Yasser there, who's so effective at creating them. So I don't see where Tom Ince gets a look in. Now, we know that Val wants a pacier winger to replace him. That could well be Quadro Bar. That's what I expect. Or we go out and get someone. Obviously, there's been, you know, one or two names sort of half-linked. That David Okereke and Jeffrey Defrel. Is that his name?
Yeah, from Sassuolo, yeah.
Yeah, there's been a few names linked, but I don't expect anything to come of it. I'm happy with our wide options, and I think, you know, I'd like to see what Quadro Bar's got.
Mm. Yeah, well, it's injuries that hamper him, isn't it? I think that's why Burton sent him back to us, because his injuries. Because it wasn't long ago, I was seeing tweets, people saying, you know, this Quadro Bar's, you know, been playing really well. And I think Gabe Sutton said that he thought that Bar went for his big move too early because he was sort of a diamond in the rough at Rochdale. But yeah, I hope it works out for Bar, because he's clearly got talent, and I don't want him to be another one of these youngsters that comes along and then, you know, he goes out on loan and then we never see him again. Bit like Darpo Mabude, who I believe is now in a more stable condition following his horrendous car crash. But yeah, I don't want to see Quadro Bar go down that sort of route of going out on loan, coming back, and then us just saying at the end of it, right, thanks, but no thanks. I hope it works out for him. And then, yeah, just before we wrap up, next up for the Cup, Southampton at home on Saturday, FA Cup fourth round. I'm looking forward to this one. I know Southampton are a crazy unbeaten run at the moment, but I've just got a feeling something good's got to happen. We're going to have a bit of a cup run this season. And Joe, how are you feeling about this game? You feeling confident, or would you rather we go out and focus on the league and maybe a playoff push? What are you feeling? Obviously, a game close to your heart, living in Portsmouth, a game that you'll be sort of looking at. I don't know if you've got friends on the blue and red sides down there, but how are you feeling about this game?
Well, it's interesting because, as I said earlier, I met some fans on the train on the way back, coming back from Swansea yesterday, Southampton fans, and was sat with them the entire journey back yesterday. You know, they're obviously absolutely buzzing at the moment. 21 games unbeaten now. They were saying they can't quite believe it. You know, they had that bad spell. I didn't realise when they were listing the sides to me, they'd obviously, in that four games they lost to Ipswich, Leicester, Sunderland and Middlesbrough. So quite tough games, really. Yeah. So not quite surprised. You know, if they'd have lost to, like, teams at the bottom, you'd have been like, as dodgy, but they actually lost the teams that are doing well. So, yeah, they're flying. They are obviously really excited. They sold out in 24 hours, so they're bringing a huge crowd. They're expecting Russell Martin to play a strong side. I actually said, it's interesting for me because I'm not sure whether he is going to play a full side because of how well they're doing in the league. I actually believe that they've got a chance of catching Leicester. So I just don't think Leicester are as good as... I think Southampton are playing better than Leicester at the moment. So they've got a big chance of catching them. And Leicester obviously away at Ipswich tomorrow night, or is it the other way around? I can't remember. It's a huge game there. So, it's going to be really interesting. I know Val's probably going to bring... I would expect him to bring Backman in and play him. I think Seriota will probably get a game. I think Bayer will probably come in and start to give him a bit of game time. Other than that, I don't really know what changes he'll make from our side. But, yeah, if Russell Martin does rest players, I think we've got a good chance against them at home. The fact we're at home, obviously the last thing that both clubs are going to want is a replay because obviously we're pushing for the playoffs, they're pushing to go up automatically, so a replay would be horrendous. So I do expect someone to try and go for it. But yeah, it's an intriguing one.
So it's a winnable tie, isn't it, Cam? It's a game that you're looking at, and even though Southampton are 21 unbeaten, like Joe said, are they going to rest and think, right, well, yeah, the FA Cup would be great, go on a bit of a run, but bloody hell, like we could catch Leicester here. So, yeah, it could definitely play into our hands, couldn't it, Cal?
Yeah, it could. And as Joe said, yeah, they have got a title race on, but they're also not done with Ipswich yet. They're sort of in an automatic race, so they'll definitely want to focus on the league. I watched them yesterday afternoon, and they are absolutely terrifying. They tore Swansea apart like they weren't there. But second half, they did show a few chinks in the armour, so they're not impossible. And say what you want about it being a boring tie, an all championship tie, it's a winnable tie, and it's brilliant that we're at home. As someone who loves a cup run and lives with a Southampton fan, I want nothing more than to win this game. And yeah, I actually can't wait for it. We'll obviously go more or less full strength, so
yeah,
I believe we've got a chance.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see Daniel Backman in action on Saturday if they do go a bit strong. I do fear for his confidence there, to be honest. But we can get more of a lowdown from Southampton side of things because up next on Voices of the Vic, myself and Ben will be chatting to the guys over at In That Number podcast, which is a Southampton podcast, on Wednesday night to preview the upcoming fixture. That will be at 7:45 on Wednesday night. So make sure you tune in, get your questions in, anything you want to know in regards of Southampton, how they might line up, where they think they're best, their views on a cup run this season, whatever you want to know, pop it in the comments and myself and Ben will obviously get round to asking. But yeah, from myself, Joe and Cam, thank you very, very much for watching. Don't forget to hit that like button on the video. Hit that subscribe button as well. We are creeping ever so slowly towards 500, and surely there's people watching on YouTube that aren't signed in or anything. Just sign in, it will take 2 seconds, and hit that subscribe button. Let's get us to 500 subscribers by the end of this season, because it'd mean a lot more to us than you think. And also next week as well, look ahead to our... We've got a little surprise coming up in terms of sponsorship that you'll be able to get a couple of freebies. If you like an alcoholic beverage, keep your eyes peeled for that one. More info will be coming out ahead of the Wednesday's podcast, which me and Ben will be on. But till then, thank you very much for watching. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, and come on, you horns.
Sports Social Podcast Network.